First of all, we'll be learning Le'ilu Nishmas Tova Gittel Vas Rav Yitzchak, who's Yatzai this night, and Nisham Shehav Ne'li, and she'll meet Yishar for the entire Mishpacha. She'll only hear about Simchas. On page Laman Hei, the Sefer Shnita Laz, which is very appropriate, since we have a Kabbalah from the Tzadikim, that after Tisha B'Av begins the time Tisha B'Av Av is the Isis Elul Ba, right? Elul is on its way. And after Tisha B'Av, we begin entering into the Kedusha of Tu B'Av and Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So it's now appropriate to begin learning a little bit about Tshuva. Tshuva is a word that for most of us has always meant something unpleasant. Just like when a person, many people think of the time of Rosh Hashanah Kippur, it's just upsetting or frightening, and everybody wishes it were possible somehow just to skip straight, you know, to Sukkot, and still be forgiven for everything, and to have a good year, but to get straight to Sukkot and Simchas Torah. And the whole Inyan Tshuva, when it's not learned in a deeper way, in a proper way, it could be something which is frightening or unpleasant. When it's learned properly, then it's the sweetest, most exciting time of the year. Tshuva is for every minute of our lives, but particularly now, as we finish Baruch Hashem Tisha B'Av, we're preparing for Tu B'Av, to get up from the Shiva of Klal Yisrael, and we're heading towards the new year, Be'ez Hashem. So let's begin. I'm going to leave a little time at the end. I know each time I forget, some of the women said that they wanted to ask a few things, maybe if there are questions, because this is really going to be the last shiur for the summer. Not going to be here next Monday. So I'll try to leave a few minutes at the end. Kosov, Pej Lamed Hei. Kosov, Harav Rabbeinu Yonah, and Shari Tshuva, Nizel Shaina. These are the words of Rabbeinu Yonah, one of our Rishonim, in Shari Tshuva. V'da, ki mi ashechota al derech mikra. There is such a thing as a person who does an aveira, and the aveira is something which is, I guess we could say, is out of character. It's uncharacteristic of that person to do this aveira. And it came that Rabbeinu Yonah says, ki hisav taiva. Why does a Jew do an aveira? It's a taiva. He had a taiva. He had a desire that got the better of him, and he ended up doing something he shouldn't have done. V'chazakal of Yitzro, because of this, the taiva, there was a Yetzahara, v'yiskefeyu, v'lo nechlutzu rayayna v'chushav b'pogaybo. He wasn't able to free his thoughts and his senses from the attack of the Yetzahara. But it's something that came about unexpectedly, and it wasn't something that was planned. These things happen in life, and he was taken by something. Reishis Tshuvas Isha Zacharata, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, the beginning of this individual's return to Hashem, of his tshuva, is Zacharata, is regretting what took place. V'losim yogin b'libo al chatoso, and to feel upset with himself in his heart that he did this aveira. That's one type of a person who sins. But look what Rabbeinu Yonah says now, and the tzaddik is going to explain what he means. This person is different. The first one Rabbeinu Yonah was talking about is an individual who is on the right path, and there was something that happened. He had a bad moment, he had a bad day. Sometimes there's certain pressures, things happen in life, and he messed up. This person, the second one Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about, is different. He's an ish misyatsev al derech lo tayva tamid. He's on the wrong track. He's just not in the right mahalach. He's misyatsev. He has positioned himself in the wrong way in life. The gavra al chatov, the gever al chatov derech b'chol yom b'shana b'avlosa. and this person is trampling or stepping upon or treading upon this path that he set up for himself every day, and he's repeating his mistakes. It's not that he's on the right misgaris, in the right framework, and something happened that was uncharacteristic. This second person, he's not in the right derech, and he's repeating this problem. It's a recurring theme in his life. The beginning of this individual's tshuva is to abandon, to reject that mistaken path in life that he's set himself on. He's living a way of life that has doomed him to repeated failures and mistakes. So here it's not an issue of patching up this problem or repairing that issue and being stronger in a certain inyan. Here, there's an overall picture that's not right. So the tzaddik explains it. Ice base. Rabbeinu Yonah b'dvarav dibe b'nekuda chitzaynis. Rabbeinu Yonah began by speaking about the nekuda chitzaynis, which means asiyas averes chas v'shalom. Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about what is the external aspect of a person's mistake in life, which is committing a sin. Now, committing a sin is a terrible thing. Rabbeinu Yonah is not saying that's not a big deal. It's a big deal, but that's not the underlying essential problem in this person's life, that somebody did an aveira. Listen to what he explains. Ulam hein hein advarim l'nekud apnimis nefarish yesh adam shekol ma'aseh mekushar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. You have a person who everything that he does is mekushar Hashem. In other words, he does everything according to halacha. He's living an officially orthodox way of life. Ulam yesh prat b'chayev shebeprat zeh nishkach b'menu hiskash v'slabayrei. So this person, he says, in this person's life, there's a certain detail, there's a certain prat that, he says, shebeprat zeh nishkach b'menu hiskash v'slabayrei, that in this particular detail, he has neglected his connection to Hashem. So this is the first person Rabbeinu is talking about. So what does this person do? This person has a certain detail in his life where there's something wrong, there's something missing in how he relates to Hashem's Baruch in that detail. So what does he need to do? He needs to fix that. There's a problem and it needs to be repaired. But it's a localized, specialized, particularized issue in his Yiddishkeit, in his relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, that he has to look over carefully and he has to fix. Ulam, however, Yesh Adam, and this is the second one, I mean, the tzaddik here is explaining this is applying this to Rabbeinu Yonah's second category. He says, Ulam, Yesh Adam, sh'af al pi she'shomer kol ha'Torah v'mitzvos. You have a person who's also, he observes all Torah mitzvahs, he's completely observant. But he's missing the whole point. He's missing the essence of Yiddishkeit. In other words, he keeps Shabbos and he learns and he doesn't move muktzah and he doesn't turn on lights the wrong days and he's got the right look. He looks okay. You could put him in the Ateid or Hamadi and he'd be fine. He looks okay, you know. The only problem is that the picture looks like it's a good picture, but the pnimius is not there. The inner core of Yiddishkeit is missing in this person. Ein lo behem ahava. He's doing the mitzvahs, and he's learning, and he's davening, but it's a loveless relationship that he has with God. There's no love in what he's doing. There's no excitement, there's no love. Ein lo behem simcha kedeboi. He doesn't have joy in what he's doing. Vein hu margish his kashrus nafshis l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't feel a kesher of the soul, a soul attachment to Hashem. La'oviv shebashamayim to his father, to Hashem. Ein hu chosh kesher shel av u'bein beinu l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't feel a relationship that Hashem is my father and I'm his child. He doesn't feel that. He's doing everything and he's staying away from the wrong things, but the whole picture is off. I was explaining this yesterday was Tisha B'Av. So I was explaining this yesterday. We were talking about something with the Olam, and you know that it says Alma of the Aretz, the Navi was asking, why did Hashem destroy Beis HaMikdash? Like, what's wrong? You know, in that generation, Alma of the Aretz, Chazal tell us that they asked the Nevi'im, they asked the prophets, and they couldn't explain, like, what's going on? Why is Hashem, why is he so upset? They must have had, you know, Shom Shabbos things and stuff, and everybody looked, you know, in the right outfits, and they asked the Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im couldn't answer. And Chazal say in the Gemara that they asked the Chachamim, and the Chacham couldn't answer. Until Hashem himself answered. And Hashem said that Alazum is Tarosi, they've abandoned my Torah. And they haven't kept my mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, what? They're not keeping mitzvahs, they abandoned the Torah? So the Gemara explains that they're not making the bracha before learning the Torah. You know the bracha we make every morning? Lasagar, I'll do it. They're not making that bracha. So the Ran explains, the Ran actually rings from Rabbi Yonah, who explains that, no, of course they're making brachas. Every religious Jew has the brachas in the Seder in the morning, but they don't appreciate that bracha which speaks about the sweetness, v'harif nashem, and how precious Torah is. They don't appreciate the preciousness of Torah. That's what Rabbi Yonah explains. So the Bali Musa say on this, all the tzaddikim talk about this. You know, the way that sometimes a person that's not feeling well, God forbid, and the person goes to one doctor that's not such a big maven, and this doctor takes, let's say, an x-ray. Nothing shows up in the x-ray. Then he goes to he doesn't feel well. So then he goes to somebody that's a bigger maven, and this person takes like an MRI, right? So then the MRI doesn't show anything. So everything's okay. The only problem is he's still sick. He doesn't feel well. So he says, I don't feel well. So the tzaddikim say that in a similar way that the Nevi'im said, no, we don't see that there's any problem. And the Chacham said, we don't see there's any problem because everybody was religious. But there's something missing. So Rav Shach Zechitzal Gevracha asked, if the Chacham didn't know, if the Nevi'im didn't know, then what's Hashem's taina against the regular Yidden? Then why is there a taina? Even the Nevi'im didn't know, and the Chacham didn't know. So listen, what Rav Shach said is unbelievable. Yisod. Rav Shach said, because every Jew has inside of him a portion of God himself, that's your own neshama. The Navi doesn't know it about you, and the Chacham doesn't know about you. There's only two that know it about you, you and the one who made you. Because the one who made you is inside of you also. And therefore, if you want to know the truth about yourself, you can know the truth about yourself. Even though a Navi might not know it, a Navi. And a Chacham might not know it. So what was it? Al-Azvam Esterasi. So the way that Svarm explained is, they kept all the mitzvahs, they were observant, but Hashem said to them, like I explained here on Shabbos a few weeks ago, Panu Eilai Oref means, like the Navi Yirmiyahu said, Panu Eilai Oref means, they do everything officially, and they're staying away from Averis. There's one thing that's missing in their lives. You know what that is? Me. I don't have a shaykhis. They don't have a shaykhis to me. I have no relationship with them. They don't think about me. They don't dream about me. They're not happy with mitzvahs. If someone would tell them that, you know, Rabbi said this week, oh, you can see, this morning we had a Baruch Hashem, a bris in shul, and some of the guys didn't know that we were having a bris, because there was this fellow that just came to the shul recently, and you know, Monday's a long tachan, you know, Monday's v'hurachim, the women don't say this, you know, but Monday's a long v'hurachim. What does it mean long? It means 3-4 minutes. Sfadim have like a half hour tachan on Monday. Ashkenazim have like 3-4 minutes extra. You have to see the look on a man's face when you tell him there's a bris this morning in shul. So he's happy because there's a simcha, but then there's no tachan. And on Monday, like, you can't get better than that. What a way to start the day. That means 3 minutes less. 3 minutes less. That's all it is. 3 minutes. For Hurachim is 3 minutes. So the Baruch Shalom is saying, no, everything looks good. It's like the Ramach Nishasa. It's like you can have a person that, you know the 300, you know the mitzvahs, you all know the 630 mitzvahs correspond to our body, right? The 365, 248, the limbs, the organs, it corresponds to our body. So what happens if you look at somebody and you check this guy and you see that every single limb and every single organ is 100% fine? So the doctor says, I don't know, Mr. So-and-so, everything checks out, you look fine. He doesn't answer. And the person says, doctor, this person passed away half hour ago. He's not alive. So, oh, I didn't know that. Because everything checked out. I mean, the limbs are okay, the organs are okay. He's got all shasa, all ramach. So the same thing, there are Jews that keep all mitzvahs. They don't do any aveiros. There's only one thing that's not there. Nebuch has gestorben, you understand? He's not alive. His mitzvahs are not alive. His Yiddishkeit is not alive. There's no chiyus in anything that he does. There's no chiyus in his Yiddishkeit. So that's how the Svarim explained. When it says, Azra Mistarossi, they don't make a brach on the Torah, they did everything. But Rabbeinu is saying over there that when they make a brach on the Torah, it's not, if you would appreciate, if you would love the Torah, if you would really love being a Jew, and feel that it's the greatest privilege, the greatest schus in the world to be a Jew, it would be a different Berachas HaTorah than it is. So what he's explaining here is, there's such a thing as a person who is doing everything right, but the whole picture is off. By the way, that's the whole inyan of, you know, it seems so strange that you go from Tisha B'Av to Shabbos Nachamu. Tisha B'Av to Tu B'Av, from the lowest to the highest. Because what does that mean? It means that if Tisha B'Av hurt you, not because you didn't eat, but if Tisha B'Av hurt you because there are Jews throughout the centuries, for thousands of years, who are in pain and have lost and have been killed because they're Jews, if it hurt you because there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Shechina, there's no, that we don't feel, we don't have Nevi'im, we don't have a Sanhedrin, if it hurts you because Jews themselves are forcing other Jews out of their homes, if it hurts you that Eretz Yisrael is being cut into pieces by Kaifim and Apikarsim, or don't have a Hergish of Hashem Baruch in their lives, if it hurts you, that's a sign that you're alive. Because a dead person doesn't feel any pain. So if you're alive, then there's hope. As long as you're alive, there's hope. The simcha of Noch Tisha B'Av is that if it hurts you on Tisha B'Av, if all what's missing causes you pain, that means there's hope. And that means that you can go to Shabbos Nachem. Because the biggest necham is, if you're still screaming, if you're still crying, if you're still yelling, if you're still protesting, if it still bothers you, that things are not the way that they once were, and the way that they could be. That means that you're alive. That means that you have a shaychus to Hashem, and then you can go tenach. There could be a nechama, because as long as you're alive, there could be, there's hope, and there could be. But if someone, God forbid, has died, it's for foul. So what he's saying here is that this person might be doing everything officially right. He's got all, everything checks out. He's got the ramach and the shasa. He's got all of his mitzvahs, stays away from all the aveiros. Everything looks fine. There's only one thing. He doesn't have a shaychus to Hashem, which is the whole tachlis of being a Jew. All the mitzvahs are only to generate and to create and to strengthen one's ties to Hashem. So this person is doing everything right. And you see that I told this to students of mine. I taught for many, many years in a yeshiva where the kids came from non-religious homes. And many of them, a large percentage of them, ended up becoming shomer mitzvahs. And they had huge fights in the homes, huge battles in the home. And the question was always, I tried to make a thing on the stove on Shabbos to put Friday a blech, and my mother got angry. And it was a whole thing, fights. I said, I always told them, the best thing that you could do to see to it that you'll be able to be religious and that your parents will accept you and respect you, the best thing you could do, don't give them speeches about tearing toilet paper on Shabbos. You know, don't do that. The best thing you can do is be happy. What do you mean? If they see that Yiddishkeit makes you happy, and they don't think that you're some neurotic, upset, angry person, because they've seen a lot of Orthodox people in their lives that look like they're neurotic and angry, if they see that your Yiddishkeit makes you happy, every parent wants the child to be happy. And if your Em is happy, and your Yiddishkeit is a Yiddishkeit that's filled with simcha, and if you bring into the house, not just speeches about toilet paper, but you bring into, on Shabbos tearing, but what, you bring to the house simcha, and more kibbut avayim, and more nigunim, and more Shabbos, and more lichtigkeit, and don't tell them what not to do and what not to do, but to make it more lichtig, then the parents will see that it makes you feel good, and it makes you happy, and it makes you into a better person, into a better Jew, into more. That's the biggest kiddush Hashem. I am saying something that is on tape, and you could tell your husbands, maybe some of them won't like this. There are no Freie Jews in Eretz Yisrael, there are no secular Jews in Eretz Yisrael who don't like Lubavitcher Hasidim. Go find out. Go talk to Freie Yidden. There's no non-Orthodox Jew in Eretz Yisrael who has tainus against Lubavitch. The Orthodox have against Lubavitch. But no Freiyidin, you know why? Because whenever they met a Lubavitch, they'd say, hey, Shalom Aleichem, a hug and a kiss, a donut, a lulav, and come here, come for Shabbos. Okay, whatever, the Rebbe had his soldiers, you agree, you don't agree. That's it. I'm not talking politics, God forbid. I love all Jews. What I'm saying is, how is it, everybody says there's such fights between the non-religious and the religious, and they hate this one, the non-religious hate the religious. It's not true. I don't believe that a Jew hates another Jew. I think that many of the non-religious Jews feel, of course, guilt, because their parents and grandparents were religious, A, and B, they feel that, like it isn't one family, they feel that they don't like me. Like we said in the parasha, this Shabbos, the sin is Hashem, my son. We said about Hashem, Hashem hates us, that's why he took us out of Mitzrayim. That's ridiculous. And if you'd ask any Orthodox Jew, do you hate that guy, he's not religious? He said, God, I don't hate him. But they don't know that, they think we hate them. Because you ask any Friday evening, it's just only tells you, yeah, I know, and Meir Shlomo standing there throw rocks at cars. That's not true. They're 20 crazy people, the same crazy people every year. The 20 crazy people throw rocks or scream. Most of them are just sweet, beautiful people that love Jews. Everybody wants to do good. But nobody dislikes Lubavitch. Ask any soldier, ask any Friday Jew whether they dislike Lubavitch. No such thing. You know why? Because Lubavitch just came to visit us in the Golan Heights. Because Lubavitch just came and they brought us food, they brought us clothing, they brought us coats. Isn't that interesting? And they'll say, what about you? You wrote an article, you have an editorial in the newspaper about how I'm not religious and I'm this and I'm that. That's all. That's how they see us. That's how they see us. It's not because they hate or they don't like. It's because the whole hergish is that they feel, when they see a Lubavitch, they see in a Lubavitch a simcha. They see in him a confidence. They see in him an excitement about Yiddishkeit. And they see not just on Lubavitch. I'm giving you an example where on a large scale, Lubavitch is able to make such an unbelievable impression on people wherever they go. And then in all the towns where they go. Now the yeshivas, they send some people to and they have their little... Because you just have to, like, you know, invite them for Shabbos and smile and put your arm around them. It's not so complicated. You don't have to be philosophical. But that was the way the Lubavitch Rebbe, Schussi Gilein, as you know. Again, I know that there's things people could argue and study, and I'm saying this is like a dangerous thing to say these days. It's crazy, I don't know why, but I felt pichein that this is the Metzius. So the problem is that if you're missing the whole essence of Yiddishkeit, which is Hashem, people feel that your whole thing is just, you're doing the mitzvahs and you're not doing the various, but it doesn't give you any joy in life. It's not creating a relationship between you and God. Every Jew wants to have a relationship with God. And if other Jews look at us and it doesn't seem to them that we're relating to God, it doesn't seem to them that we have a relationship with God, if we look to them like we're doing the same thing as they're doing, except we have shmatas in our heads and different kinds of clothing, but we do the same thing that they do, and we act the same way that they do, okay, not on Shabbos, and so on and so forth, so then what's the tachlis? What's the tachlis? You have a bigger relationship with God than I have. What's your relationship with God? Because you shakel? Because you wear a skirt and I wear pants, therefore you're so religious? So they don't see it. They don't believe it. Right. So, I'm sorry, yeah?
And I can't help but thinking, you were saying that there are so many of us, from even who, they go to shul, they attend shul, they wear the right garb, they do everything right, that they should know the money the way they're supposed to, everything right. But when it comes to, and this is a sore topic with me, the talking in shul generally today, and I find, like you say, about Kof the horse that they haven't seen, right? It's like they're missing that point that this is really a best feeling, right. Something that Hashem is here, you should have the respect. They don't see, they know they have to dance, and they know they have to do this, they know they have to, all the right things, but the core, the crux
that's
of
the point.
Being there, and if I don't know how to make people aware that they should have the Derech Eretz, because it is the place where the Ribbono Shel Olam is here,
right.
And hears that, and you just can't get it through to
see,
most people.
You see, because that's the most obvious outward symptom of a very, very serious illness. Yeah. Other things are, like, I was in the Sarma store last week, and the tzaddik over there, you know, Moshe and over here in Woodburn. So he said to me, a guy comes to him, and he asks him, he charges him tax, and the guy says, you charge me tax? So he says to him, you don't have to be talking. I mean, when you go into a restaurant, you ask if it's kosher. He said, of course I ask if it's kosher. You check that. So it's not the same thing with money. You don't have to know whether it's kosher. What are you talking about? So the problem is, you're right. Because the core is missing, which is a relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, because of that, all of these are symptoms of a much deeper problem. All of these are symptoms. The whole, you know, that's why. So the girls will sit in school and someone will scream at them about tznius. And they're right. Because we have to dress the right way. But that's not the underlying yesod. Why? If they would feel a relationship with Hashem, they would want to dress the way they would make a father proud. But if you don't know your father, then what do you care what you don't care what he thinks about you? It's not that somebody guarding over you, it's that you want your father to be proud of you. You want your father to say, look at my daughter, how she dresses. But they never met their father. Whoever introduced them to their father. Whoever told them that the Bechlal, the Baruch Shalom loves you. So if all you hear is that this, and you can't do this, and you do that, so maybe, you know, if you're more of an easygoing type, you'll go along with it, and you'll keep the Ramach and the Shasa, the 248, 365, you'll see whatever you can get away with, whatever you can cut away from the outfit, you'll cut away with, and still be part of the Orthodox community, as long as you don't cut away too much, and they don't, you know, nobody looks at you too funny. If you can get away with that, you'll get away with that, and it's out. What's missing is the neshama. And that's the deepest problem that Klal Yisrael is suffering from that affects everything else. Talking in shul is one of the most frightening symptoms of it. But it's across the board. The example that I gave from the Sfarim store, the people, when it comes to money, when it comes to things, dishonesty with things that have to do with money. It's the most unbelievable thing. That how could it be that a God-fearing Jew, how could it be something that's Yirei Shemayim? What is he thinking? So what's he thinking? He's not thinking about Hashem's book. He's thinking about other people do it, why can't I? And so all these games, it's all part of that mischak, that horrible game of a Yiddishkeit without God. Or the way he said it was, that they're not connecting the dots. There are a million dots, they're just not connecting the dots. And when you connect the dots, it spells Hashem's Baruch. It spells Yudke Vavke. So what he's saying here is, look, he says, Adam zeh kol darko ein aderech nechayna. This person's whole, even though we're in Ice Bays, like two-thirds down in Ice Bays, on page Lamed Hay. So even though this person, is keeping mitzvahs, he's not doing aveiros, the whole derech is not a right derech. Again, officially it is. But it's like the guy that's lying there on the table, and the doctor says everything looks fine, except he's dead. He's detached from the essence of life. From the essence for which purpose he was created. He was created to be attached to the Creator. And he has no shaykhs to that. So now, what happens? This guy goes and he hears, before, in Elul, he's going to hear 20 speeches at least. Every yeshiva bach is going to hear much more than 20 speeches about how this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. This has to be fixed. You have to be more makbid on this. You have to be more makbid. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. Right? Everybody's going to get the shmuzin. And he thinks that his shuva consists of what? Of fixing this, fixing this, fixing this. Doing more of this, more of this, more of this. Less of those bad things, less, less, less. And he thinks that everything will be fine. But that's not what Rabbi Yonah says. Not like that. He says like this. Ella humuchach l'shanes es kol gishaso l'chaim. That is the truth. That's what Rabbi Yonah is saying. There's a person who has to change his entire approach to life. Not that he shouldn't fix those aveiroch or the mitzvahs he's not doing, of course. That will come. That will come with the new perspective of life. Like we've been learning the last few weeks, that when you're talking to Hashem every minute of the day and you try to have a relationship with Him, certainly you're going to want to be better when it comes to, you know, what books you read and where you go on Motzei Shabbos. You know, it's a funny thing, the kind of tefillahs we were learning about last week, it's a very funny thing, like going to, I forgot the name of the video store where everybody goes, going to some big video store, and as you're walking in, saying one of the tefillahs that we're learning in the last chapter, right? Rabbi Shalom, help me enjoy this movie, and that it should bring nachas to me and to you. And I mean, it's funny, no? So, if you change your perspective on life, the video store is not gonna, it's going to be a non-issue. Not like it is now where Jews have to sneak around and hide things and put things in other wrappers and boxes and write, sign a sworn statement to the yeshiva that you don't have and your kid says, we don't have it. Oh, well, we only have a monitor. We don't have it. All of these things are part of the game. It's a Yiddishkeit without God. That's all. So you have to play games. Like a friend of mine years ago, a friend of mine said that he was in a very religious neighborhood, and he went to buy an air conditioner. That was Marisa. He went to buy an air conditioner, and the guy brought it out in a television, in a box, in a carton that had a television box. So he said, "I want an air conditioner." He said, "This is an air conditioner. I hope you don't mind. If you mind if I put it in this box?" He said, "I don't care. Like, well, why are you putting it in that box?" He said, Because all the guys are coming in here and they're telling me to take out the television and put it into an air conditioner box. So I have all the air conditioner boxes. I hope, if you don't mind, can I put you, you know, can I, put, I mean, the television boxes, I don't know what to do with them because I took the air conditioners out. So that's the game. That's the game. It's a game, and it goes on. It's being played, and it's playing itself out in a thousand ways. Talking in shul, issues of tznius, things with shalom bayis on all levels. But not in welcome, not in chaver. As long as it looks good and it's not going to mess up your kid's shidduch, it goes. But Hashem is not there. So what he's saying is to change the tzuras achaim. And if a person elhu muchrach, Rav Yonah is teaching us muchrach ulishanis is kol gisos lechaim. To change your whole approach to life, you have to become alive. You have to pull yourself out of this game, the externalities of Yiddishkeit, to enter into that world of establishing a relationship with the Creator. A person does not feel a love of God burning inside of him. Whoever does not feel that he misses and yearns for Hashem should know that his way is not yet a straight way. With everything he's doing, it's not the way. Many people make a mistake, he says, with this, in the whole understanding of what tshuva means. Nevoir, let me explain. Ben Torah Shemachle Lasses Tshuva. A nice Ben Torah Yeshiva Bacher decides, it's Elul, I gotta do Tshuva. I'm gonna do Tshuva. Uvam Yuchad Vimei Elul Vaseyas Mei Tshuva, especially it's Elul Vaseyas Mei Tshuva, I'm gonna do Tshuva. Chum Ezbeinu Ba'arach Hayev, he takes a look at his life, right? He looks over his life. And he's hearing Shmuzna every day about this. He takes a look at his life. He checks what he's doing. If you check into your records, you'll find that I'm not doing well when it comes to lashon hara, shmiras lashon. When it comes to learning as much as possible, not wasting time. Of course, my davening is not with the kavana that it should have. In other words, basically, like every good yeshiva bach will come up in El with a whole shopping list of things that are lacking and things that are wrong and so on. And it could be much worse than this. This is not so bad. So ma oise ben tarizeh. Now this ben tarizeh wants to do tshuva. And he has a list of stuff which he's been hearing day after day shmuzim, battering him on those in yonim. And he wants to do tshuva. He's very sincere. He's a nice boy. So my oisiv and tarizeh, mekabel alatzmo kabolus b'kol echad minhatchumim shebehem uchash loku. He goes down the list, and he accepts upon himself kabolus, more kavan in davening, more kavan in brachas, less lashon hara, and so on and so forth. Einenu haroos, we see with our own eyes, shal pirov akabolus lo machzikos ma'amad zman rav. We see that these resolutions, these New Year's resolutions, they don't last too long. And even if he's a stronger person and he can hold out and keep some of these resolutions longer, keep them going, ben aliyah amiti leit semech nezeh, a true ben aliyah, a blossoming, growing Jew, doesn't come out from that way of doing tshuva. Heichen sharish habaya. What's the root of the problem? Even though now he's holding on longer to his resolutions. What's the root of the problem? Hu ha-davar she-dibarnu. It's exactly what we're talking about. Adam zeh, oseh sa-tshuva ha-rishona sh-Rabbeinu Yonah. This bacher has done the first tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, which means what? Bebchinis mi ha-shechot al-derech mikra. Means that you know, he spoke lashon hara a couple of, you know, sometimes, and he has issues in davening, and he has issues in other areas of his Yiddishkeit. He has issues, but he's a good guy. But he has issues, and everybody has issues. So Rabbi Yonah says that this person thinks that what is his tshuva? How is he going to do tshuva by dealing with the issues? There's truth to that. Most people, he says, won't be able to keep the resolutions. We know why, because they take like 20 things upon themselves because it's Elul and Rosh Hashanah, they're afraid, and then afterwards they're ready for foul. A person who's stronger and is more resolute, so his resolutions will take longer till they begin to crumble. And every year, next year, Elul, he has the same stuff. We see this, right? It's the same stuff every year. It's the same Al-Khaitz, and we see it's the same stuff. So it doesn't really last. And even if it lasts, it doesn't... But the point is that all that bacher, all that individual is addressing is the first thing Rabbi Yonah was talking about, were particular, localized, specific issues in my life that are lacking or that could use some work. But all of that is in the first category of Misha Shechot al Derech Mikra, But you know, the Yetzirah gets the better if you say every one word. You have other things on your head. You didn't daven right, and so on. Ulam, he says, Be'emes hu nitzrach l'tshuva min asuga hasheni. What he really needs to do, and no one's talking about that, and what he really needs to do is what? Is the second type of tshuva. Min asuga hasheni v'chis mesiyatza v'derech le'tayva. The whole thing is off. The whole picture is off. He doesn't have a relationship with Hashem Yisbar. He doesn't have a hergish, a chiyas, a joy of being a Jew. That's why before Rosh Hashanah, we always come to the parish of Atan Nitzavim Hayayim Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem. Atan Nitzavim, standing in God's presence. Rosh Hashanah, we don't talk about tshuva at all, right? Rosh Hashanah, we don't talk about tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is all b'simlech at Hashem. Rosh Hashanah, we say Hamelach. Rosh Hashanah, we sing the Malch, we sing the Rebbein Shalom Gevalt. And he made such an amazing world, and he loves us. That's all Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, after that, once you have a relationship with God, then you have means. Okay, let me now take this new feeling that I have of wanting to please my Father and have a relationship with Him. He loves me, I love Him. Now let me take a second look and see, in light of my new relationship, what can I do to improve the relationship? But if you don't have a relationship, then what does Yom Kippur mean? Then you're once again, like we spoke about 5 shiurim ago, sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's all. You're just a sinner in the hands of an angry God. And you wish there wouldn't be Yom Kippur in the world, because Yom Kippur makes you miserable. Because you have to remember all this stuff. Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur, because Rosh Hashanah means that there's a Baruch Shalom who's there, and He loves you, and He's in your life. He's with you every single second. It's Yechiyas. You get back your Neshama. Because Neshama Ba'apai, the blowing of the shofar is to breathe back into each and every one of us. Neshama Shechayim, the same way that God made us. He exhaled into us a breath of life, and that's how we were brought into this world. So too with the shofar, that there's a breath of life that's infused into each and every one of us to wake us up, like the Rambam says, wake up! Wake up doesn't mean this mitzvah, that aveir. Wake up means, like the Rambam writes over there, that you got lost someplace along the way in the Narishkeit. Even though you're officially Orthodox, you just got lost. And you have to wake up. Look at the advertisements in any of the Jewish newspapers. I don't look at all of them, but you know, especially if you look at the one that has the largest circulation, the Anglo-Saxon population, Jewish Anglo-Saxon population. If you look in the newspaper, and I want all Jews to have panos and all of that, but I'm saying if you look there, you could see all of this, like as you turn the pages, you read and you see the advertisements, you see where we're holding. Just look at the advertisements, where we're holding. I'm not going to go into any pratim, where we're holding. What is it with us? Whatever it is, you interpret that any way that you like. Just look at them. Just read the advertisements. Look at what's going on. I have a guy in shul. He cuts at everyone to just give me aggravation. He brings on. And this guy puts on my stand always for davening. When I come to daven every day, I get him. You know, shleishiks for everybody. Everybody see him every night. Restaurant guarantees see him every night. You know, like the different. Glatt kosher, Super Bowl extravaganzas, you know what I'm talking about. Just look in the newspapers. So what are you going to say? Is it an aveira to have glatt kosher chicken wings at the Super Bowl television with 50 guys from the shul in a basement someplace? I'm not getting into that. We're not talking about mitzvah surveyors. You just are missing the point. You're missing the point. And so, what's wrong? You hold it's wrong. You can't talk. It's an aveira. You can't talk. How do you explain? You say no. You have all your limbs. You take out your stethoscope. You say no. You have all your limbs. You take a picture, X-ray, MRI, everything checks. You're just not alive. You have no neshama. You're not thinking about what does the Hashem's Baruch have? What's the Ratzon Hashem? What gives your father nachas? Because you don't think about the fact that you don't think about your relationship with God. You just think about what's this and what that and what I could do about it. But what's your relationship with Hashem's Baruch? That's what he's explaining here. So he says that Rabbeinu, that's the second thing Rabbeinu was talking about. Shadarachim u'misyatzim al derech le'tayva. It's not the right derech. And if you tell this person you're off the derech, you'd say, "What are you talking about? I'm off the derech. I'm not off the derech. The kids on the block, they're off the derech. I'm not off the derech." The rabbinian says you're off the derech because the derech lo nechayna. Because the derech is seeking a relationship with Hashem, about his kashas with Hashem. So he says, Dalet. Nachiv sedvarim. Let me explain more. These two ways that Rabbeinu Yonah, problems Rabbeinu Yonah was talking about, are very different on the most basic level. Hachait al derech mikra, somebody that doesn't have aveira, or he doesn't do a mitzvah, but again, it was out of character. Sherish chetu al derech zu. You know, if you have a person who has a big relationship with Hashem and he's very close to Hashem, but his Yetzer got the better of him and he failed in a certain inyan, so how does he even fix that? It's just a local problem. It's a particular problem. In other words, his general way of life is good and he has a relationship with Hashem, but something happened to Mataiva. So how does he fix that? He fixes that by addressing the particular problem. That's what Rabbeinu is talking about, the first type of a sinner. He himself is on the right derech. He has this relationship with Hashem. There's an inyan that he was weak in, and it has to be fixed. Therefore, for that person, it's enough to have a resolution to work on that inyan. Ulam ha-misyatzev al derech le'tayv. But if a person's whole mahalach is off, ein sherish ha-chayt, he says, ein sherish ha-chayt hu ma'isi ha-chayt she'osa. The root of his sin is not the actual sin that he does. Even though he's doing that wrong, he has this problem or that issue. That's not the root of the problem. The first guy, the root of the problem is the problem. And he has to address the problem because he has a relationship with Hashem. He loves Hashem as Baruch. He thinks of Hashem. He talks to Hashem and all these other things. But there's a particular issue. He has to address. That's the root of the problem. There's that issue. And he has to deal with that issue. But the second guy, he says, the aveir or the lack of the mitzvah, or the aveir, that's not the root of his problem. So the root of his sin is not the sin that he did. It's not a particular aveira, even though he did do that aveira. That's not the root of his problem. Getting back to the issue of talking in shul. So I told this a few weeks ago. So they're going to give new lectures on why they shouldn't talk in shul. That's not the problem. They all know that stuff. They've heard it already. There's a tzaddik, there's a wonderful tzaddik in Queens that he's trying to make a one-man campaign to stop talking in shuls, and he's wrote up a beautiful nusach of a thing, and he shared it with me, and he's a mamash yida tzaddik. And I felt so big, because he called me, and he says, what do you think of Moshe, what do you think? So I said, I think it's beautiful, and if it affects one person, he's spending like a velt of his own money to do it. I said, if it helps one Jew to be more conscious of it, it's kedai. He said, what do you mean one Jew? I want to change the whole world. I said, it's not going to do anything. That's not the problem. So there'll be another tzettel on the table. Like they don't have enough to read. Because people don't want to daven anymore. So you have to give them something to read so they shouldn't talk. So then you put something else. Our sages didn't have to have reading materials. They just had a siddur. The men have to have now religious entertainment. Because who was listening to Allah Chadaydi? So you have to put papers on the table. Religious papers with divrei Torah on the table. Whoever heard such a thing? No, what is it? The terrorist is. So I said to him, that's not the problem. They know that they're not allowed to talk in shul. And they understand that. And you can give them another paper that says, the Ramah says, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Chofetz Chaim is crying, this one, the Beis HaLevi. So they'll talk about it during davening. Oh, Mishnah Berurah said that, I didn't know that. You know? That's not the problem. This is the problem. It's off. We're just off. The derech is loy nechayna. We're misyatzim al derech le'toyva. That's what Rabbeinu is saying. What are you going to say? So you're going to stand and say, going to get a new rabbi, and the new rabbi has more energy than the old rabbi. The old rabbi was sleepy. The new rabbi is a young guy, straight out of yeshiva. He's going to get up and say, shh. The old rabbi said, 30 years ago, he used to go, shh. Now he can't take it anymore. He just looks in the sitter. The young rabbi is going to scream, shh. Or we're having a no talking Shabbos, this Shabbos. No talking Shabbos. That's not the point. And now what? I'm quiet. And what am I going to do here now if I'm quiet? Why don't you daven and talk to Hashem? Why don't I want to do that? I have nothing to do. Give me something to read. Give me something to do. I can't talk to him. I'll say this stuff because I don't want to get in trouble if you don't say shmash. I'm religious. But I can't. I don't have a relationship with God. So you have to keep the guys busy in shul. You have to keep them busy. So at least it's done. That tzaddikim would try to make it that it should be done in a nice way. And they give out divrei Torah. And it's beautiful. Even though I'm opposed to it. But they mean well and they're trying to do a good thing. And then what are they going to have next? They're going to start having pinball games and little games on the side for the grown-ups that they should be able to keep busy during davening so they shouldn't talk, to keep them distracted. And we'll have it then on a screen. It'll be on a, there'll be the davening, the words will be on a big screen. and they have like electric thing, like they have like the, like, you know, the comedians and the actors, that they have things for dummies to look on the screen. What are you going to do? They're grown ups, these men. They don't have a relationship with God. You can hand out all the papers in the world that say don't talk, and you can make all the speeches in the world that say don't talk, but if there's no one to talk to during the silence, you don't feel any shaykhis to God, then what's the point? And they're not going to stay home. Even though according to Halacha, if you're going to talk in shul, it's better to stay home. They're not going to stay home because they, you know, they don't want to do wrong things. They're good people. They want to do the right thing. They figure therefore they should go to shul. But if you tell them that if you go to shul and you talk in shul, it's much better for you to stay home. According to the poskim, it's much better for you to stay home than to talk in shul. They'll say, "What are you talking? You can't say that." Say that. Me? Of course I come to shul. I'm a shul going Jew. But there's no relationship with God. So there'd be more speeches and more papers about how we can't talk, but that's not the point. And more ways to distract the men that they shouldn't, and then they tell the kids not to talk. And it's just part of the problem. And we're not addressing the problem. This sefer is addressing the problem. That's what Rabbi Yonah was saying. Ela derech bohu misyat sev is derech light taiva, where a nice dialogue in the middle. Lekach olav l'shanas is a derech. That's the underlying issue. Change the derech. L'shanis is haderech. L'achashi yamad l'haderech ha'nechonim. To get a 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old man to say, "I'm not on the right derech." That's a hard thing. That's a very hard thing. He'll admit that he'll always say, "I know it's not a good thing to talk to you. I know. Imagine if he said, "No, I'm not talking about, you know, what I'm saying is that you're altogether detached from God." That he won't like to hear. It's not nice. That's not nice. That's insulting. If you tell him you're not allowed to talk in shul, say, I know, don't be such a big tzad. I guess all you're talking also listly. Right? But if you tell him you have no shaykhis to God, that's why you talk. So that already, whoa. Those are fighting words. But that's really what we should be talking about and getting to the bottom of things. So he says, and if you work on repairing the derech, that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. On Hamelech. And if you come to Hamelech, then you can begin to seriously begin to work on things, because you're going to want to work on things in a healthy, normal way. If we look carefully, we'll see that the same problems or deficiencies that we find in ourselves, if you get to the bottom, the root, like I'm just saying with talking in shul, the root of talking in shul is not talking in shul. It's not the aveir of talking in shul. There's a problem with God. And dafke in that place where you're supposed to have a relationship with him, you feel most uncomfortable and you want to talk about other things. You don't talk that much when you're someplace else. The same guy, when he's at home, his wife's asking for 3 weeks, "Can you say something to me? Talk a little bit." She should. If the Fruma would daven men and women together, then she'd be happy. Because she'd hear everything would happen during the week. The problem is the guy comes home, he doesn't say a word. He says, "I don't understand. I look at you from the women's section, I saw from the balcony, I see you talk to your uncle the whole time for 2 hours. You don't have a good word for me." So he'd say, "If you would come sit next to me, sure, I would talk to you too." It's a sad thing. I'm joking, but I'm not joking. You understand. And I don't mean to be cynical, but sometimes to cut away the sheker, you have to. You have to cut away the sheker. You have to cut away. It's a sheker. It's not, the sin, isn't the root of the sin is not talking in shul. The root of the sin is I have no one to talk to, so I'll talk to the guy next to me. That's the root of the problem. Elam ibnei she'enon magishim inyonu upnimiyusu shalachayt. We don't feel the real pneumius of what's wrong, the inner problem. Because we're living this way, this is derech le'tayva. There's another connection between this issue of recognizing, acknowledging the underlying issue, which is our distance from God, and the failure to be able to hold on to resolutions that we make. Chazal Amru B'chol Yom V'Yom Yitzur Shal Adam Is Gabar Lav. Listen to this. This is such a important yisoid that he says in this Chazal. We've all heard this Chazal. Chazal tell us B'chol Yom V'Yom Yitzur Shal Adam Is Gabar Lav. Every single day, a person's Yitzhar is strengthening itself against the person to win. And if Hashem wouldn't help you, then you wouldn't be able to defeat the Yetzirah. In other words, every day the Yetzirah is getting stronger and stronger to defeat you, and if not for Hashem's help, any Yachalah we'd never be able to win. So look what he says. When does Hashem really, really help you? When does Hashem really help you? It's only when he's your friend and he's your father. When you have a relationship with him, then he helps you. You live with him. He lives with you. You're attached to him. Then Hashem will help you. The reason that our New Year's resolutions don't last, the reason that they fall away very quickly, or anytime we make these resolutions, I'll be better, I'll do this, I'll do that, how come they don't last? The answer is because unless God helps you, the Yetzirah is stronger than you. You hear what he's saying? Unless God helps you, the Yetzirah is stronger. It's Mezgaber Allah B'chal Yom. Il Molek Kadosh Baruch Hu Israel. Unless God helps you. The question is God going to help you? So he says that there should be actual, that God, that Hashem Yisbarach should actually come to help you, is when you live with him together, he's helping you. And the reason, therefore, that our resolutions don't last is because he's not helping us keep them. Because what you're talking about is this thing and that thing, but not him. And you have no shaychus to him. Really, the Yetzirah is beyond our strength to deal with it. You have to have Hashem's help. When a person is attached to Hashem Yisbarach every time and in every situation, like we've been learning about so far, when you have that relationship with Hashem, he's with you, he'll help you in every situation to overcome the Yetzirah and to keep your resolutions. He'll help you. But if a person is far away from Hashem, to the degree that a person is far away from Hashem, to that degree is the help that he has from Hashem weakened. Let's think about that. That's a very frightening thing. The closer you are to Hashem, the more he helps you. That's how the Ezer, that's how the help is strengthened. Therefore, if you're detached from the Pneumius Achaim, I mean, what's the medication going to help you if you're not alive? That's basically it. You can give this guy 100 dosages. It's not going to help. He's not alive. How could his resolutions actually make it through? You know, it'll be fine. Sesame Chuv will be strong. Yom Kippur will be strong. But then when it comes to being back, day to day, a regular Tuesday in Tavis, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Because he's missing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezra element, with that element that Ezer is promised to the one who has a relationship with God. That we work together, we live together. Now, Ezvav, I wanted the rush to be able to get to Ezvav, because I know that any of these things that you might share with the wonderful tzaddikim in your lives might be subject to a lot of scrutiny. And it still will be after Ezvav, depending upon, to what degree. Everybody is different. And I believe that every Yid, every Jew wants to do the right thing. But there are all kinds of inyanim over the years that fossilized in us, that became fossilized. But just show Ezvav to the skeptic, just show Ezvav. And the skeptical type will put that down also, but let's look for a second. There are going to be some men who read these things that I just wrote. They're not going to know what am I going on about. What is all of this? They look at themselves and they're wondering, are you saying that I am far from Hashem? And the rabbi, author of this book, I just read these last couple of pages. Are you telling me that you have like I said about how the guy's going to tell you in shul, you go up and tell him, your problem is not talking in shul, sir. Your problem is that you don't believe in God. Imagine if that would be said to the people that are talking in shul. There's no issue here of talking in shul. That's not what we're discussing. What we're discussing today in shul is the lack of belief in God. Those of you who are not talking don't believe in God. Those of you who are talking don't believe in God. What? So this guy would say, are you saying that I'm far from Hashem? I learn 12 hours a day.
I learn 12 hours a day. I keep all the mitzvahs properly. I eat in all the right restaurants. I read all the right things. I wear all the right clothing. Is that what you're saying? I'm not religious. I'm far from God. What do you mean? I'm keeping mitzvahs. And when you keep mitzvahs, you're close to God. That's what they're going to say. I'm keeping mitzvahs. I learn 12 hours a day. You know, this guy is learning. I learn 12 hours a day. I daven in minyan. I put on tefillin, I wear tzitzis, I do this, I did that, I'm on the chesed committee, and that. You're telling me that I'm far from God, but look what I'm doing. And if you're doing mitzvahs, it means you're close to God, it means you're attached to God. That's what he says. Are you saying that when I'm learning Torah and that I'm keeping it, I'm not being attached to God? Are you not being Torah? You're telling me that my Torah and my mitzvahs are not attaching me to God? What does it mean to be attached to God if not Torah mitzvahs? Well, he writes to this person, to the skeptic, or to the shocked person, ulam. Those who ask this question, if the very fact that they're asking this question, mi'ida testifies, bears testimony, ad kama hem rechayke mi'avas Hashem, how far removed they are from any feeling of love of God. Mi'pnim yisachayim, how far removed they are from the inner essence of what life is all about as a Jew. Mi'akav shbaruchu, which is Hashem. Hem einam mevinim, they don't even understand. Sheish olam pnimi, that there's an inner life, a relationship, that the Bereshit wants us to have with him. The same way that I explained a few weeks ago, and I've spoken about so many times, Shabbos, different times, that the same way, when we were talking about Panim El Panim Shabbos 3 weeks ago, so I was explaining the same way, that this husband doesn't understand. The wife says, we're married 25, 30 years, I don't feel that we have a kesha. He says, how could you say that? I make $250,000 a year, I don't spend it for myself, it's for you. True? True. I take out the garbage 3-4 times a week. For me, it's fine if the garbage stays in the house. I take it out for you. True? True. I got you a birthday card, right? I got you that ring. Remember? I did this, I did that, everything. And she said, everything is true. There's nothing. And she says, keep all your presents. I don't want any of your presents. I only want you. I don't want your presents. I've traded in everything you ever gave me, put it in a box, take it away in a container, take it back to the store. I don't want it. I just want you to talk to me and to be my friend and to relate to me. That's all I want. It's the same thing with the Baruch Shalom. That's what it means, Panu Elai Erev. What do you mean? I'm not attached to God. Didn't I put on tefillin for you today? Yes. God says true. Didn't I wait sisters for you today? Yes, you did. Didn't I bring deliver a package to the poor? You did that. Didn't I learn for a few? You did that. So then what is it? I want you to have a kesher with me. Of course, the difference is you can't say keep your Torah mitzvahs, because of course every mitzvah Hashem in the next world, everything that a Jew does is rewarded for. Of course, this. But the pnimius, the point. The essence. And the wife doesn't mean when she says to take the stuff back either. So the panemius, the inner point is missing. The inner point is what somebody just misses. She says, they don't even get it, that there's a deeper world that the Baruch Hu wants us to live in with him, to have a relationship with him. They don't get it. They just say, what do you mean? I'm doing all the right stuff. I'm not doing the bad things. They think that this is the essence. That's all there is to being a Jew, just to do the right things and to stay away from the wrong things. Which is Baruch Hashem. That's good. That's good. But that's only a means of getting to the end. What they're missing is the realization that the whole chiyus, their whole life, is just external. Even with all the things that they're doing, which is wonderful, it's external. Just like the wife says to the husband, everything's external. Everything's external. It's all just giving me this and doing that and taking me here and taking me there, but it's not what I'm looking for. That's not the point of why we got married. My father was richer than you. I had better things when I was single. I didn't marry you that I should have more stuff. I didn't marry you that I should have my own place. I married you because I wanted to have a relationship with you. And I don't have that. And that pain that a person feels, that pain, is only a tiny, infinitesimal, tiniest reflection of the pain that the Shechina HaKadosha, that Rachel Yimeinu has, that the Shechina has when we don't have a Shechistim with all of the little presents we give them. It's only because it's a human pain, the infinite pain of the Shekhinah, that we're doing all this stuff and then we don't have a Shaykhus. We don't have a Shaykhus, which all of those things is that we should have a Shaykhus. Could we even be masig the pain of the Shekhinah? So he says, this person, he says, who am I going to explain this to? They're not drawing out the true life force and vitality that's hidden in Torah mitzvahs. Because in every mitzvah and in every word of Torah is Hashem is Baruch screaming out, I love you, I want to have a kesher with you. Every word of Torah and every mitzvah is Hashem's reaching out to us to connect to Him, to have a relationship with Him. And here you're doing all this stuff, but you don't have a relationship. So the Shekhinah is crying about that. That's what's missing. And we don't have time to go on. But that's the kesher pnimi, and seeking that pnimi is the point of tshuva, which means to return. That's the point of tshuva. All the other things, of course, have to be repaired and dealt with. But the point of tshuva is returning to Hashem as Baruch. The rest of the things will begin with God's help, and there Hashem will really help, because you're one of His people. You have a shaykhus to Him, and He'll really help you keep those resolutions. Because you know why? Because He really has a personal relationship with you, and if you want to be better, He'll help you. But if you don't want Him and you just talk about these things, it's not going to last, because you don't have Him, and on your own you can't do a thing. Only if He helps you, and if you don't have Him, all you have are the instructions and the manuals, but you don't have Him. So can you imagine if you go to buy a barbecue and you go to the store and you just bring home the manual and you sit down at the table and the family comes in, they're ready for the hot dogs and the hamburgers, and you put the manual on the table. There it is. Look, there's a beautiful picture on the cover of the barbecue. So that's what it is. That's our whole lives. Just the manual. Just the guide, the instruction booklet. But the actual thing is Hashem. The actual thing, that's the barbecue. That's Hashem. The rest of the stuff is just how to put it together and how to get it going, and this goes into this, and you screw this to that, and this comes to that. But the original is the tachlis. That's what it means to do true. To want the whole thing again. To want the bigger picture again. To want godless and to have she'ifas that are great, great, big, big she'ifas for great things, and not to be small. That's the sight of tshuva. So it's like, I promise, if there are any things, if you have, if you want to ask something or say something. And
I just wanted to comment. At this point, I would play synagogue for the Jewish people, for the people who are from and do Torah and mitzvot, and by the same token, I know we learned twice the same pasuk in Megillat Echa, and we said, Hashiven Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Menem Pekel, meaning, you bring us back. But I asked the question, how is He supposed to bring us back in order that we should make a tshuva? Why is it that we have to ask Him
okay.
to make us...
What you're referring to...
Yes.
You always say good things, by the way, you know. What you're referring to is there's been an ongoing debate between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. So we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Hashem, you bring us back, right? And we'll do tshuva. You know, we're saying, you start. And Hashem says to us, Shuvu Eilai, v'nashuva Elecha. You start. Hashem says, Shuvu Eilai, you come back to me and I'll go back to you. So it seems that we've been thousands of years in this standoff. So what's going on? So the answer to that is Rabbi Nosson Breslov says, listen to what Rabbi Nosson said. Rabbi Nosson said that when the Rabbi Shalom answers us, we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha Neshu. Bring us back and we'll be good. So Hashem's Baruch says, no. You start Shuva Eli. Rabbi Nosson says that when Hashem's Baruch tells us Shuva Eli, He's really starting. When He says that to us, He's really starting. You could see the same thing with the mommy and the daddy. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You try to give your kid like 50 cues and say, and if you do that, after you spent the half hour explaining, and if you'll do that, it'll be very good, but you, it's up to you.
Yeah, but the question is, how does He ask us to do Shuvah by doing unfortunate misfortunes that come upon our nation?
I don't know. I know that when you sit up at night and you can't fall asleep sometimes, and you turn your head a little bit, and it's total silence, and in that darkness, you hear the Rebbeinu Shalom talk to you. Every Jew does. I just shared with my wife a poem that I saw written by a secular Israeli. I was a little bit late Tisha B'av afternoon. There's this book somebody gave me, and I never really looked at it. It has religious poems from non-religious Israelis. It's very hard Hebrew.
Non-observant.
Some of them maybe are. They're not observant. I don't mean they're not. They believe in God. They're writing these poems, but they're not observant. I have it in the bungalow here. But the basic thing is that this. But he said it's like this. He says in Hebrew it's very beautiful. It's called Machboim, which means hiding places. And he said, a long time ago, I covered my eyes, like in hide and seek, right? I covered my eyes, and you went to hide. It doesn't say God, but it's talking to God. And you went to hide. I counted 1, 2, 3, and I didn't find you. And then he goes on to say, basically, he says, look, come out already, because I give up. I'm looking, I can't find you. Come out already, I give up. I give up, I can't find you. We have to daven. Those feelings that we have sometimes of emptiness, the Hashem Baruch is crying inside of us. There's so many simanim, there's so many things that all of us feel, but then you just get busy and something else happens and we get distracted. There are a million, million ways that Hashem Baruch is saying to us, Shuvu Eli, you do tshuva, you come back to me. There are a million ways.